Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? We're back here finally live on UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to get all the latest information and things of that nature. And finally, back on the air with me. First, Petey Pete, are you there? Can you hear me, my man?
I am here, and I can hear you.
And, of course, I'll do it like Peter. Sonia, are you there, Sonia?
I'm here.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, we finally got back together. I mean, it seems like it's been forever since we've done a live
a podcast
show. Yeah, well, I don't know, you know, for the people listening, and I go through this a lot too. Everybody has lives and stuff like that, and I know Pete has to go back and forth and stuff like that, but I got moved to a different department or whatever, and it's post-op, you know, post-anesthesia recovery unit, and we're the last to leave. And then you tell them, hey, man, I got this going on, or whatever. Okay, yeah, no problem. And then it's like a quarter to six, and they're like, hey, oh, dude, you're going to have to stay at least another hour, or whatever, you know what I mean? And so things get screwed up. So that's why we're doing a Thursday show today, because Tuesday was packed because it was Labor Day, and, I mean, we had, you know, people for days or whatever. So I'll take it around the room before we mention who the guest is. I'll go first. I don't know about you two guys, but this, you know, paying bills, raising kids, and stuff like that is just way overrated. And I've had enough or whatever. So, Sonia, what about you? I mean, have you had enough or what?
I've had enough. Jello's 22 today, and now she's cut off. No, I'm just kidding.
and Pete, you get what I'm saying? Like it gets annoying after a while.
Oh, but no, believe me. It's,
he doesn't know yet. Jasmine's only eight. She's still a precious angel.
She's eight. Yeah, that's just the beginning or whatever. But real quick, before we get to the guest. Okay, I got Mark Ortiz is going to be coming on first. And we're talking a little bit about this before we went on the air. You know, I don't know what the heck happened. I brought Louie down for the show. And even though, you know, I hit him with the splash and we went over, I said, you know, this kid's got heart, man. I mean, to be able to take the splash from me, you know, big fat Marrano and everything. So we went in as Team UWC for the big battle royal, tag team battle royal that they had at ASCW over at in Stanton. And I don't know what the heck happened, bro. He came out of nowhere and he gave me the bro kick or whatever. And I'm still going, what the hell happened? I thought we were partners or whatever. Next thing I know, I get whipped into the corner and I'm going to be honest with you. I have to ask Mark, some little Mornito or whatever, Beeled threw me all the way over the top rope and I almost landed on the cement or whatever. And before I was entrant number five and I was out by number seven. So I'm like, what the hell? And Louis's like, and forget that. No, I don't really need to be riding anybody's coattails and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, you want a one-on-one match? You know, let's do it. So Mark put that together. And we're going to talk a little bit about that when he comes on at about the 15 minute mark. And then we're going to go ahead and do news until about a little before 8, because Guyam can't come on till 8. He's got a big show coming up over at Metroflex Gym, so we'll talk a little bit about that. But before we get into that, I got to tell you, you know, Pete, I know you weren't able to attend the last meeting, and Sonia, PG Jello, and Manny were there. So I was telling them, and we could talk about this on the air, you know, Guyam has that big show coming up at Metroflex, and, you know, it. Dude, and you all, both of you know, it's hard to get people to get out there on a Sunday and come and see a show or whatever, unless you're like this really hardcore wrestling fan. So, and we all talked about this before, but this is what happened. Guyam calls me up. He says, hey, bro, can you meet us down at Metroflex? You know, you guys have done shows there before. I got a new DJ, and, you know, he doesn't know where to set up, so he would just like to take a look at the place, blah, 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 whatever. I'm like, yeah, man, absolutely. Meet me at 11 at Metroflex. I said, yeah, no problem. So I get there at about 10:40, And Sonia, you remember I was telling you, it was packed. There was no parking. I mean, I had to drive around and around. You couldn't park at Burger King or at the Chicken Shack or nothing. It was just packed. And I'm going, what the hell's going on? I go, is there a concert or something? So I finally find a parking. Somebody came out, bam, I get in and I park. So, and by the way, as you guys know, it's about 105 degrees. There's no air conditioning at this place. But anyways, so I get there and it's packed. And I tell the girl at the front desk, I said, hey, what's this? Oh, they're having the World's Strongest Man competition or whatever. And I'm like, this many people come up? And she goes, yeah, it's literally at least 250 to 300 people. I mean, it was packed. So, you know, Pete and Sonia, when you walk in from the front, if you're on the left-hand side and you just go straight back, you know, by where the bathrooms are, that left side, they left it open so the people can work out, you know, the people who go to that gym. But on the right side, from that side on, where the cage was, and it was just a sea of people. I mean, I have never seen that many people in my life. So Eddie says, hey, man, I'm glad you're here. Guyam told me you guys are coming. Whatever you guys need, go ahead. If you need to use one of my offices, go ahead. You know, very, you know, polite or whatever. Guyam calls me, says, hey, we're here, bro. We're at the front. He goes, there's a million people here. I go, yeah, there's a thing going on. So I meet him up front. And even though this is the World's Strongest Man competition thing or whatever, people are screaming and they're sweating and stuff flying. When they walked in with the mascaras, you know, Guyam has his Chivo shirt on with the mascara, and then Enigma's behind him wearing like a sport coat with the mascara and everything. So when we walked back to go back there towards the offices, and this is the God's honest truth, that whole place stopped and turned around and looked and like, dude, what's going on? What is this? But look at the guys in the mask, luchadores or whatever. So I'm like, dude, this was very smart. So anyways, went talk to Eddie. We came, and when we came back out, dude, everybody came down. Hey, luchadores, what's happening? Oh, we got a show tomorrow or on Sunday, the following Sunday, blah blah blah. Oh, can we get a picture? Yeah, bro, get a picture. And then so we went up in the cage and we shot a couple of promos and we took a couple of pictures. And on the way out, even more people came. So they handed out at least 25 or 30 flyers, you know, personally, hey, this is where it's at, you know, and all those people were like, dude, we didn't even know they had luchas here or whatever. So by the luck of the draw, I would say they lucked out, and just all these people who didn't even know what was happening were there. And I'm not talking 10 or 20, we're talking 100 to 150 people or whatever. Wow. So, you know, we'll take it around the horn real quick before we get to our guest. This is what I've been trying to say when we do the live broadcast. When the people see, you know, the mascaras and all that, they know something's happening and they want to see what's going on. So we talked about it at the meeting. You know, when you have a champion, that's got to be your hood ornament. So it's got to be either somebody who's just this big monster or this guy that looks really professional with the light, you know, the light championship belt or whatever to really make it pop. So we'll take it around the horn real quick. Pete, what do you get what I'm saying? Do you think it would be better to have a champion that's in the mascara so that people just go, dude, they automatically know what's going on? Or, you know, somebody that's more professional, a little bit taller, maybe a little bit bigger with the big belt? Or what do you think the key is?
You know, it's a tough call to say because you're right. The mask automatically draws attention. Doesn't matter if you're 5 foot two, or you're 7 feet tall. You know, but at the same time, too, in fact, if you got a guy walking around, like off the top of my head, Kevin Nash walking through the streets, he's going to draw an eye. You know, I remember I saw it was a Vince McMahon quote. It's like, I want the guy that's going to turn heads walking through the airport. I don't want a regular Joe. I want the guy that turns heads. So as long as if you can get someone in like the mask and in there, so that's what I was talking about, like what you were saying about the strongman competition being there, handing out flyers over there. That Comic Con, the Anime Expo coming up, like that's a perfect place to hit the ground, get people to see you because they're gonna see the wrestlers. You're gonna be able to hand them a flyer right there on the spot, and that's gonna draw their attention. If you give 100 flyers, if you give out 100 flyers to 100 people, you'll get five of them. But that's five more than you had.
Exactly. Exactly. We talk a lot about that too. At the meeting, Sonia, well, let me put it this way, Sonia. When I went to Santino Brothers to go talk to Joey, they were having the Tuesday night training or something. I couldn't remember what it was. But I walked in the gym and I saw Brody King. And when I saw him, I went, dude, this dude just looked like a wrestler. He's huge, 6'5", you know, had the long hair and the big beard and tattooed up. And I'm like, who is this dude? And Joey was like, oh, that's Brody King or whatever. I go, do you have a belt on this guy? And he's like, well, no, not yet. You know, we're still working some stuff. I said, dude, that dude needs to have the belt. I was like, because that guy looks like a wrestler. You know, and of course he went on to be what he is now. So you're kind of in the middle, right, Sonia? I mean, do you want that big huge dude where people go, hey? But then, like we were saying, the Mascara, they know that luchas.
Yeah, that is like a super hard decision because, the mask, like, they just have, like, so much flair and, like, you know that there's some wrestlers, you know? But the look, like, this dude, Brody King, does have a good look. But I prefer someone that probably looks like Taz, though.
we talked about that, I was thinking
Triple H was, like, my favorite. But, I don't know, hard one.
Yeah, we talked about Chaz because he's so, you know, not only is a good worker and he can work with anybody, but you look at him and he just looks crazy.
People love him.
How he's able to make it as an Uber driver, I'll never know. Because if it's in the middle of the night and this dude comes, hey, I'm Uber, I'm going, hell no.
caveman ass.
am I being punked or whatever? But it just, you know, Pete and Sonia, we talk about this a lot. You never stop learning. I mean, I've been in this business for years, you know, and Pete was the one who enlightened me on a lot of stuff. Like we talked about before, like if there's a big cage match coming up, you know, when Martha had the hair salon, he would be out front and you have a big piece of the cage with the flyer on it. And people go, hey, what's going on? He goes, oh, big cage match coming up. And they'd be like, wow. You know, it drew, you know, the crowd to wonder what's going on. So when I saw that, I'm like, dude, that is a draw. I mean, people just see that mask and they're like, they know something's happening. So you don't necessarily have to get that lucha fan, you know, just even normal people who like wrestling go over there and go check it out or whatever. So it was, I mean, it was a home run. I mean, it was hotter than you know what in that place, but everybody was staying and asking what was going on and taking pictures. And, you know, I didn't know that. And I'm like, standing there in the cage going, man, this is Guyan must have been praying or something because this is perfect. Yeah. I mean, everything just fits. So he's going to come on at about the 8 o'clock hour and talk a little bit about his card because we both ran shows at the old Metroflex and, you know, for where it's at in Long Beach now in Hawaiian Gardens, you know, you have a vast majority of Asian right there in Hawaiian Gardens, but then you still got, you know, the Mexican, and we talked about AJ because he brings that Samoan contingency, you know, or whatever. So we're trying to hit all, you know, ethnic backgrounds to get that place back because, I mean, that's the bottom goal, right? You know, we want to get that place back. We don't care who you are. We just want you there. So
definitely.
Yeah, needless to say, we talked a little bit about that. And you know, here's the thing. You know, Manny, God bless him, you know, him and I go back and forth all the time because I think, you know, he spends way too much money. And Manny's like, well, bro, I want it to be a show. I don't want it to just be, you know, wrestling. I want the people to have a good time and, you know, and all that. But I'm just like, well, we talked about at the meeting. I said, you know, it's hard. You know, it's hard. You want to do a good show and you want to get those people in. But when I come out of that curtain, I don't want to see any white seats. I just don't. I want to see that place. That's the struggle. I mean, I think Pete and Sonia, you know, you could both agree with me that that's the struggle.
I agree.
So, real quick, because I'm running up against the clock. What do you think the key is? We'll start with Sonia. I think that's it. I think it's getting those wrestlers out there it so people know who they are and they want to come and see them. Sonia, would you agree or what do you think?
I agree. Getting them out there, getting them, like, getting people to know them. Also, social media is probably a good thing. But also getting them out there, getting those pictures so they can post on social media.
Yeah. Yeah. Pete, would you agree or you think social media is enough?
No, you know what? No, getting them out there, boots on the ground. I can tell you, so when I first started the podcast, the Real Press Start, we had no listeners. We went out to comic book conventions. We went out. Anytime we were out, we were handing out flyers to people. And we built up that podcast to some of the – we were at one point, we were in the top 50 in iTunes in America. Just by – just by boots on the ground handing out flyers. That's all we were doing. We were handing out flyers to everywhere we went. We were handing out flyers, and then we took a year break, and we lost a lot of followers because we took that break. It's the presence. You need to have a presence. You need to promote. You need to have a presence. You need to be out there. And the more you're out there, the more people see you, the more they're going to follow you.
Yeah, God, that's what I've been trying to get across to these guys. I don't get it, but we'll talk a little bit more about that. I want to go a little bit in reverse. I want to get Mark on here, talk a little bit about the show coming up, and I want to see if he could stay for the news, and then we'll, if we have some time, we'll try to indulge in this little conversation a little bit more. So let me take a quick break. We'll get Mark in here. We'll talk a little bit about ASCW and things of that nature, and then we'll try to get back to that. And, of course, got the news coming up. I mean, there's so much going on. It's just ridiculous. So hang on, everybody. We'll be right back after this. You know, I know that's an AC/DC song, but who the hell, how that got on there, I'll never know. But anyways, for the people listening, you're at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check out UWC at UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com. I got Pete and Sonya with me talking a little bit about trying to get this, thing going, man. Get these people, get some butts in the seats. And I do think it lies a lot on the wrestlers. But let's get Mark in here, and we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll bend his ear on that, too. I mean, his show did really well. There was quite a few people there, so we'll get his insight on that. Hopefully, if he answers. Just make sure this is the right number. Not anymore. 5299. Okay, here's what I'm going to do.
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hey, is this Mark?
Yes, sir.
Dude, I was just about to hang up on you. I was just about to hang up and put call in.
I'm familiar with iPhone, so I didn't realize you had to slide. You can't just hit the button.
Okay, cool. Hey, real quick for the people listening to us, you're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to get all the latest information. And on the line with us tonight, well, I've been trying to get Mark on the last two shows, but due to circumstances beyond our control, I mean, you know how it is, Mark, or whatever we have to do. But now we finally got you on, which is a little bit better because we have a little bit more information. But before we get to that, real quick, Sonya's here with me. And, of course, Pistol Pete Jr., we'll start with Sonya. Say hi to Mark real quick.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, how are you tonight?
I'm good.
Having
Mark,
me on
I'm not,
again, probably.
I can't remember the last time. I don't think Pete was with us last time. But, so real quick, Pistol Pete Jr. himself, the man, the myth, the legend, the all-around computer person slash ring announcer slash back taking care of her. Say hi to Mark.
How you doing? Good to meet
hey,
you.
Hey, what's up, Pete, man? Finally. I don't think Pete was on the last time I was on the podcast.
No, he wasn't on. But
cool.
There's a lot I want to talk to you about, Mark. I hope you can talk for a little while because we've been talking
the
opening about just the whole, SoCal wrestling in general. And real quick, I'll try to make it brief. I was telling them that, Guyam has a show coming up. And we met at Metroflex Gym because we wanted to go over some stuff. And they were having the World's Strongest Man competition there. And it was easily close to 300 people there. And they were screaming. And, because the guys are lifting these, I don't know, these big tubes. I don't know what you call them or whatever. And when they walked in with the mascaras to walk to the back to go to the office, that whole place stopped, bro. And everybody turned wow. around and said, oh, my God, luchadores, look. You know, because they saw the mask and they automatically wanted to know what was going on and what that is. And they're like, yeah, bro, we got a show. And they handed out flyers. And I'm like, dude, this is freaking genius. So we were talking a little bit about in the open about how what a big impact that had. And I was telling them how I wish we, because I don't want to see any white seats, bro. I want to see every seat taken and everybody there or whatever. So the last show that you had where I don't know what's wrong with Louis. I don't know if he's been breathing too much of the grease from the chicken or whatever, but you know, when I went out there, you had a pretty good crowd, man. So real quick before we get into your big show that's coming up, I mean, what is it? I know you're out there. I know you're trying to get those guys to get their booths out there. And, you know, we talk on the messenger like, hey, bro, you got to come. You got to send some promo pictures. You got to do this and that. So real quick before we get into your next show, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, promoting-wise, I was in bands for a while, like since like 2005. I've been in a band, you know, different bands.
Yeah.
So I've always been about like flyering and just wherever I'm going, if I see someone with like a band shirt, I give them a band flyer. But now it's like wrestling is so big just in Southern California that like if I see someone with any company wrestling shirt on, they're getting a flyer if I got them on me. So I've always been about hand-to-hand flyering. Social media is cool, but it only goes so far. It's really talk to people and handing them a flyer. At least I like getting a flyer of like a show or finding out a new company that's about to happen or just a new show happening. So, I mean, hand-to-hand flyering has always been something like it's needed to run a successful show.
Yeah.
So I think I succeeded that furtherly now is just because like I started just sending them to like any comic book shop around town, you know, anything that I'm into, I send them a book in the mail, snail mail, you know, bringing it back.
Yeah, see, that's what I was telling them, that those people were like, bro, we didn't even know that Luchas were here. We didn't even, and they're like, yeah, man, we're having it. So here, take a flyer and, you know, let your friends know or whatever. So you have to get out there and do the footwork and everything to get the name out there. This is what I don't get about some of these wrestlers is because, like, I'll give you for instance, we'll do a live broadcast or you know, an appearance or whatever at this place, and I tell these guys, dude, well, all we're asking for is for you to come down for 15 minutes. You come on the air with me live, you know, the people see who you are, you blah, 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 whatever, and it's like pulling teeth. These guys don't want to come out. And I'm like, dude, this is going to benefit you because more of the people who know who you are and see you or whatever, you know, the more better you're going to do or whatever. So let me know. I mean, tell me what do you do? Do you tell them, hey, look, man, you know, you guys got to get your name out there or whatever. What's the key to getting these guys to get themselves together?
I mean, anyone, you know, if you're on a show, you want to promote the show, but you're not just promoting the show. You're promoting yourself. Your face is on the flyer. Like, every time you make a post, even if it's the same flyer, jazz it up a little bit differently. Maybe put another text under it or something. But for me personally, a lot of the guys, I've just been sending them a little stack of flyers. If they can hand them out, I mean, they're going to wherever they're going. They should just leave them wherever they're going, you know? So, I mean, that's been helping a little bit. So, yeah, even Louis, I send Louis flyers, and he's been handing them out and giving them to his people. And, Louis kind of like on, I don't want to say our S list, but definitely he's been on our radar of like, you know, I don't know, understand why he pulled that on you last show.
Real quick, before, because I want to get into the show or whatever, but this, you know, this is what happened. Louis, you know, I saw Louis at your show. This is, again, like I'm saying, and Pete and Sonya, you know this. When I went to your show, and, dude, they had people taking bumps on these Legos and stuff that I'd never seen before. But I saw Louis, and I remembered him from back, and I said, you know, Louis can go. I know that dude or whatever. I'm going to put him, you know, on my show or whatever. And you know, we ended up wrestling, whatever. And, dude, you know, I hit him with I'm just going to be brutally honest. No knees, no elbows, and I splashed him. And I thought he was dead, but he still kept coming, you know? So I'm like, you know, this dude's got guts. You know, so when you said, look, man, you know, we want to bring you in for this, you know, we're not afraid. We're comfortable with our company to bring you in as Team UWC. Let's see what you got. And I'm like, hey, that's what I'm talking about. And when you said, well, who do you want to bring with you? I'm like, dude, how about Louis? You know, the dude got guts or whatever. And then Louis was all for it. He was like, yeah, bro, you know, Team UWC or whatever. I don't know what the hell happened.
Yeah.
I go out there. He comes out, and I'm like, well, all right, you know, now I got somebody with me. Let's start doing this. Bacatelas, he hits me with the pro kick, and I had no idea what was going on, dude. So before I know it, I get thrown in, and I was telling them, I couldn't remember the name. It was a real big guy, and then he had his partner with him. I can't remember his name. Was it Raji? Wait, what was his name?
The mask wrestler and
the
mask wrestler was Paradox. He actually had a match earlier that night with Super Astro Jr., which they tore it down.
Yeah, that was again too, and I think that was a big reason why I had so many people, because that card was stacked. But anyway, so I get thrown out. Next thing I know, I'm like, dude, what the hell, or whatever. So then Mark says, okay, well then, hey, if you guys want to go one on one, I'm totally for it. So then I'm thinking, dude, Loopy is just off the grid, man. You know, if you're trying to make yourself famous, you know, I'm gonna be your man, and I'm gonna be honest. This is just the God's honest truth, because I was fat, and now back then. And I've been seriously making a concerted effort to train and get myself together. So Louis is in for a big surprise, bro. I keep telling him. And he's like, no, I'm going to show you. And I'm just, so that's just one of the matches. So I appreciate Mark saying, yeah, dude, you know, let's see what you got. Because he's just not, you know, that's the business. If you think you got something, let's see what you got. So that's just one of the big matches, which is going to be ASCW riding straight to hell. It's going to be October 1st at the world famous Doll Hut in the city of Anaheim. So real quick, you know, a lot of people, I didn't even know what it was, but I got a lot of messages and emails saying, dude, it's going to be at the Doll Hut. I thought that was a rock and roll place or whatever. They're going to put the ring on the roof. So tell us a little bit about the Doll Hut, and then we can go over the card.
So I actually went to a concert at the Doll Hut not that long ago, and I actually met Danny Retro Historian. If you were, obviously you saw all the arcades and everything we had set up a little bit. So he actually wanted to get into coming to the show, so I invited him to our show at the Lucha Pro building. He ended up digging it, so I brought him to the other show. He ended up digging it. So he offered us to run at the Doll Hut. So thanks to Danny, shout out to Danny. He got us the plug at the Doll Hut. So we're bringing something different to the Doll Hut, live pro wrestling. And we're also trying to bring different things to Southern California wrestling, as in different venues, different attractions. We're going to have a full arcade at the Doll Hut again. We have six matches scheduled. We announced only four. I guess I'll just run it down. So we're definitely going to have King Favi versus Louie. Just a straight-up grudge match. I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope it gets pretty wild because, you know, going back to Louis, I've known Louis for a very long time, and literally this past year, I've seen a whole different side of him, and I don't know if I like it, but I do like the aggression that he is coming out with. But to do you dirty like that, I'm kind of leaning towards you, not just because I'm on your podcast show, but definitely leaning towards you because, I mean, he needs his ass kicked. He needs a reality check. That's all I'm going to say.
It's smart, but be careful what you ask for. Or whatever, you know, because I've been in the business a long time, and I'm like, okay, somebody stepped up to the plate. Somebody's going to have to pay. So I'm definitely looking forward to that, too. I actually put a concerted effort in to get myself together so we can have it, you know. But before you go on, let me tell you something. When I got to the venue, I saw BC Killer and T-Rex. They were squaring off, and they're going, and not I don't want to say scare, but I'm like, oh, shit, these dudes go at it, man. I'm like, you know, I just got here. I'm on the street. I ain't going to be able to pull these guys apart.
I was very fortunate.
Talk a little bit about that.
And saving it for for the main event, because we're gonna have pretty much Fights Out Death Match as the main event, and it's pretty much your standard death match. These guys are I got all the emails of what the weapons they're requesting, and oh man, it's gonna be pretty brutal. But essentially, it's last man standing rules. So whoever is the last man after all these guys destroy the whole building. We're going to see what happens with that one. And then we also have, if you remember, we had Red Spider and Warhog. They kind of interfered in Legacy and Lux Lord's match. And they're kind of putting their stamp into it. Unfortunately, Legacy will not be able to be on the show, but we got Silver Tiger to replace him. So Silver Tiger and Luxor Kid are going to actually go two-on-two versus Red Spider and Warhog, and they're pretty much – it's going to be a Lucha Extreme match, so who knows what's going to happen during that match.
Well, they do. They got some guts because Warhog and Red Spider are some big dudes. I mean, they make me look like a little kid. So these guys stepping up to the plate to go against them, dude, I mean, it's going to be a war. I mean, it really is.
Well,
now, Rook, you know, I also saw Alexander Vega. Is he got a match? Or is he calling somebody out? Or he's got an open contract?
Pretty much, Angel Vega has been in our heavyweight division, tearing it up. Every match he's had a victory. So pretty much our heavyweight standings are not really like ranked out, but he's literally on the top of it, and it's pretty much an open challenge. So any other heavyweight that's literally in Southern California, he's calling him out. So I don't really know who's gonna. Lance kind of had booking on this one, so he's in control of who he's bringing in. But I mean, we have other talents that we're gonna be featuring that night. So literally, the whole locker room is on notice of whoever wants to step up. Angel Vega not just in our company, but all the other companies, and he's ready to step up against anything, really.
I don't know if you know this, but, you know, back in the days when OCCW was first, you know, getting started and bringing their company to the forefront, I had a little faction before the Roots that was called the Raza, and Angel Vega was definitely a part of that. And I have a picture. I'll re-put it up on my Facebook. I had went to a show and I was injured, and there's a picture of me with my like in Angel Vega's ear, because I'm telling him, bro, you got something here. I go, you put it together, you're gonna do a lot of damage. And he's like, yeah, bro, you know I'm trying. And you know he has, you know, really really started to ascend the ladder or whatever. So I'm interested to see who he's going to go up against, because out here in SoCal, there's so many, you know, wrestlers or whatever that are just chomping at the bit to get there. So it's going to be interesting. And that's what we're talking about. You know, you got this extreme match with T-Rex and BC Killer, who are just two big dudes that hopefully, you know, the welds on the ring hold up or whatever. You know, just it's stacked, and it's a lot of stuff that people want to see. So I highly recommend that you go. So don't forget, it's ASCW, All SoCal Wrestling. I'm sorry, I butchered that. What's it? ASCW,
it's
All SoCal
Wrestling.
So it's called World's. It's called Riding Straight to Hell. It's going to be October 1st at the world's famous Doll Hut in the city of Anaheim. So where do they go to get the information on this? I know they can go to your Facebook personally to check it out, but where can they go to get all the information?
Facebook, we have All Southern California Wrestling. And then on Instagram, it's ASC Wrestling. I believe there's a Twitter under the same name. I would just check out. We have an event page on Facebook. The Eventbrite is now live. So if anyone does want to pick up tickets, I suggest buy them now, because there is discounted tickets on the Eventbrite. Day of is always going to be a little bit more. So you could check out us on Instagram to get the Eventbrite link and everything.
Believe me, it's going to be a whole thing. Sorry, I'm just writing all that. You can
just to name a couple other people that might be at the show. We're definitely going to have Jimmy Mayhem. We're probably going to have Eddie Vitehouse, Guy Cool, Rickster, JBD, and Domino are stepping up for something. They want a match, so I don't know if we're going to have another tag team match in the works. Speaking of debut, the very great and wonderful The Candy Girl is going to be at the show that night.
Yeah, she's good. Yeah, the hits just keep on coming. Man, I'm definitely looking forward. And that sucks, because I've been wanting to get my hands on JBD and Domino for a while, but I got taken out so early, I didn't even get a chance to do that. So that's going to be even worse for Louis. But real quick, because we're running up against the clock, don't forget, if you want to check it out, it's Riding Straight to Hell. It's ASCW. It's October 1st at the world-famous Doll Hut in the city of Anaheim. We'll keep everybody – you can check our social media and stuff, too, so that if you want information. But don't forget to check out those social media outlets so that you can make sure and be there. Now, we've got to take a break. Are you able to stay for the news for a little bit, Mark, or do you got to go?
Yeah, definitely. I'm on. I'll stay on.
Perfect. There's so much to talk about, bro. That's why I left a little bit of time because we before we get to Diane, because it's just so much going on. Some of it is really stupid, but some of it is pretty interesting. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody. Yeah, for the people, listeners, you're here, you're at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com and all that. Uh-oh. Okay, I got you, Pete. Real quick, Pulse Photos, don't forget to check them out. That's a great sponsor or whatever. And we were working on something with that, and it kind of fell through the cracks, but it still might be there. So, Mark, I'll get with you and Lance on that for sure, ASAP. But gotta get, I'm telling you, man, people, you know, I put the number out there if you wanna call and give your two cents. I'll give it out right now. It's 563-999-3016 because the news segment is huge and we talk about stuff and then people go, oh, well, that's BS. And I said, well, call in, dude, and let us know what you're thinking or whatever. But then they never call in. So real quick, Sonia, I got a ton of stuff, but it's the news segment is Sonia's and they tell me I talk too much. So Sonia, what do you got for us in the news?
Well, oh, wait, hold on. Let me pull up my notes. I was ready, but they've disappeared.
Okay, she pulls up her notes really quick.
Go
I just want to say a wrestling show at the Dollhead in Anaheim. That's awesome.
Yes.
I've been to a few concerts at that place as well. It's an iconic location in Orange County.
Definitely.
And, like,
that's the reason why we're trying to bring cool stuff there. No offense,
that's awesome.
Orange County guy. So I'm trying to establish my flag in Orange County as well, you know.
And Pete, did you get caught up in the mosh pit over there?
I used to live right down the street. I saw War Boy. It's a punk band that my brother's friends in. And like they're there, they were there all the time. Like it was literally down the street from my apartment. Like walking.
Yeah, that's too much for me. I'm a Barry Manilow type of guy. I can't hang with that. But anyways, go ahead, Sonia.
I was just going to bring up the restructuring of WWE, how they promoted Triple H, and then Pat McAfee is leaving for a while, and then Booker T's going to take his place.
Uh-huh. Well, let's take it around the horn with everybody, because I am all for it. I thought NXT was really great. What the hell happened, I'll never know. But I didn't even watch it anymore. But this last NXT I watched only for the fact that they've started bringing the guys from the UK. Because that guy, Tyler Bate, that dude's awesome, man. So when there's people like that, I'm going to watch. So I think that's just going to start kicking it off to where people are going to start watching again. So we'll start with our special guest, Mark Ortiz. What do you think?
So I'm all for, you know, showcasing the talents that are kind of just on the back burner. But
yes.
I'm also, like, you know, them merging all the titles. Do you think that's more of, like, a cost-efficient thing? Well, make it all one thing. But then it's like, well, you're kind of killing the UK fans. Like, I'm sure they had, you know, more heart for the NXT UK. You know what I mean? They probably followed it, whatever. But for me, everyone knows that Triple H has had his hand in that business for a long time. So just to think, of course they would put him in the role, you know, and bringing all the other talent that they are putting in those certain roles. Like it's already been that way. So it's like, let's just expect kind of the same, but hopefully they let the guys do more and bring out, you know, the guys that are on the back burner.
Wait, I agree 100%. If it holds true and he is, you know, in charge, or whatever, I think the difference will be he'll start bringing in some talent that he can see, and he'll do well. PDP, what do you think?
No, you know what? The one thing I will say with Triple H, it's one of my favorite things about Triple H, is you could tell that he has such a love for the business that, I mean, he literally married business.
Yeah.
You know, like, he has put his heart and soul and body into this business. And he's worked himself into a position where he is now in charge of one of the biggest wrestling company in the world.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But he has this vision, like you said, NXT, when it first started, when he was running it, it was a great show. I feel like he has a vision, and he, Vince has been doing it so long, and Vince has that one track mind of this is what it is, this is what sports entertainment is, not wrestling, sports entertainment.
Yep.
And Triple H is going to bring that wrestling aspect back to it, that old school. At least in my opinion, I feel like he's going to bring that old school vision back to it, where like people want to see great matches, they want to see these guys that they know and love, but they also want to see new talent. They want to see fresh talent. They don't want to see the same couple guys forced down their throat week after week after week.
Right, right. And he's not afraid to venture out, you know, because those guys
exactly.
are from the UK, man. They could go. But Sonya, I'll bring this to you. You got to admit, you know, that is like the most family-friendly company around, because I've been to house shows, and even though he's been out of the loop for a while, every kid has John Cena headband and wristband and shirts, and everybody who goes has at least one or two kids with them. You know what I mean? So they have
yep.
to, you know, they have to give everybody what they want. So they got to be doing something, right? Right, Sonya?
Yeah, they do. I think Triple H is a great choice. I have always loved him. He's
yeah.
always been one of my favorites.
So you think it's going to bring another element? Like, you already got the family thing going and the characters and the sports entertainment, so that the kids, you know, they want to go. And they want to go see Roman Reigns and you know, all this. They could not to say they could care less about the wrestling, because you have to know what you're doing, but they just want to go
yeah.
see a show. So now with Triple H, it seems like he's going to bring the other side, you know, where people who want to see good wrestling and these matchups or whatever are going to get to see that also. So me personally, I think it's going to do well for them. Sonya, would you agree?
I think so. I mean, the last couple times I've watched it, the shows have been really great. I mean, what was that that just passed? Was it WrestleMania or SummerSlam?
It was the one that was out there in the UK?
No,
the
one that just passed over here. The one where
yeah.
Logan Paul and The Miz.
That was really good.
All the shows have been like, I stopped watching for a while because they got really boring to me. So now
yeah.
it's like a lot more like better. It's starting to get better again to me, like the
yeah.
storyline.
Did
the wrestling.
You didn't watch that?
The wrestling alone has gotten so more amazing than like a lot
yeah.
of people.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch Crash at the Castle?
I did not.
No. Oh my God! Sheamus got a standing ovation. He lost the match.
Geez.
Got a standing ovation.
Well, that's
his match.
Yeah, his neck of the woods or whatever, right?
Yeah. It was, but his match, honestly, to me, it was the best match of the night. But
who
like,
you
yeah. and that, oh God, I can't remember the guy's name right now.
Gunter now. But it'll always be Walter.
Oh yeah.
Gunter. But honestly, the Ricochet match that night was awesome, too, if you guys watched that
yeah,
one.
It was.
Yeah, but I feel like
every match, I mean, every match on that card was a great match. I feel like I didn't feel like there was any popcorn matches, you know?
Well, no,
I think it's all the
little build-ups they did, like, you know, like
yeah.
the video packages were done really well for
yeah.
that show. It's like,
yeah,
I focus on more of that type of stuff of, like, literally show, like, I mean, most of the people that were on the NXT show, I would imagine, like, a lot of the WWE fans don't watch NXT or even really care about Q. So this was actually their first time being, like, introduced to these characters. And I feel like, I mean, my old lady was right there watching it with me, and, like, she was like, oh, who's that guy? I'm like, oh, well, that guy's, you know, like, she was even, like, getting into the new characters, or at least, like, the people she was seeing on NXT. So if they just keep pushing it that way, it's a home run each time, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny, too, because now that that's happening, that they're turning the corner and, like, you know, really starting to bring everything back and get those people back in there, it seems like AEW's falling apart. You know, they started real quick. And, of course, not to step over Sonya or whatever, like I usually do, but I'll take it around the horn again, too. It started out so good because it was Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, the Young Bucks, and Cody Rhodes that decided they wanted to bring this new company. And then, you know, Tony Khan took over, you know, and just literally took over. You know, Cody left, and, you know, now everything's – the Bucks got in a fight with CM Punk, and it's just a big mess. So real quick, let me just take this around the horn. You think that was the demise or the beginning of the demise of AEW, that Tony Khan took over and everything had to go through him? So it's not like an independent-style company to where you have wrestlers – who know the business and know what works and know what matches to make being pushed aside, because now you got Tony Khan, who's like a Vince McMahon, and everything has to go mm-hmm. through him. And if it doesn't, it's not going to happen or whatever. So to me, I think that is the beginning of the demise of AEW. I think that started. Now it's just getting worse, because I don't know if you guys heard, but it turned into a big brawl and they took the belt from CM Punk. And you know it's got to be bad mm-hmm. if they took the belts from the Young Bucks. You know, and Omega, it just turned into a big mess. So I think this is starting to, you know, be the decline. Now, we'll start with PDP. What do you think, man? I think it's bad news.
I agree. I feel like AEW, it was meant to be, like, again, like, it's all Elite Wrestling. It was meant to be, like, it was supposed to be the top all-star guys from all these, like, from Ring of Honor, from New Japan, like, from all these, like, companies to come into one spot. It was supposed, like, ideally, like, for lack of a better word, it was a wrestling company for wrestlers.
Right.
Like, and I feel like they lost sight of that. They lost the vision. And I don't want to say that they were trying to compete with WWE, but I think they started doing that, and that's when they lost sight of the vision. Because before, they were just putting out, like, these are the matches people want to see. These are matches we want to see. Like, let's just go out there and put on a great show. People will see the show. People will gravitate to it, and then we can move on from there. But
yeah.
I think it became more about, we got to beat WWE, we got to beat WWE, we got to beat WWE,
yeah.
and now it's lost sight of its vision.
Yeah, and it's just going to be worse from now. The WWE, you know, is going to be in the hands of Triple H or whatever. Sonya, would you agree, or what do you think? I think it's a demise starting.
I agree. Losing Cody Rhodes is probably a big mistake. No, but. Yeah, like, I don't really watch that one that much, but from what I see, I don't really care for it.
Well, why don't you care for it? What's the difference?
It's boring sports. It's not like as exciting as WWE is for me right now.
Oh, because you like more of a show or whatever.
Yeah, I think I do.
Yeah, they're more strictly wrestling.
I feel like the production value is so much different between the two shows. It's
yeah.
a completely different type of show. And yeah, I agree. Because, I mean, Sonya grew up watching as much as I did. But I feel like Sonya, she wasn't backstage.
Uh-huh.
She wasn't watching. She wasn't learning the stuff. She was – so she likes the
finished
entertainment
product.
Value of it.
Yeah.
She like, yeah, exactly. She likes the finished product.
I like the crap talking. I love the wrestling. I love the wrestling, but I love the crap talking, and I love the what is that, Ezekiel and Elias type thing? That was hilarious. And then the way that guy was getting so mad, like, it was just so funny. I forgot the guy's name, but and I don't remember his name, but the one that was making, they were so upset, and he was like, no, you're Elias or something.
Here's the thing, Mark. We'll go to you with this.
Yeah.
When Bray Wyatt, when they first came out with that character, I was, dude, I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. He's different. He brought a whole different thing. So that was a whole character created by WWE. And I thought, man, this is what I'm talking about. He's, you know, when you can control a crowd and everybody turns their light, because I'm not turning my phone on because I got to pay the bill, but they all had their lights on with their phones, and he came out to a slow song, and it was just different. And I'm like, yes, this, but they killed that character before it even got off the ground. So that's what turns me off about WWE. So, Mark, we'll take it to you. You think now that Triple H is at the helm. It's gonna be a lot better, and that is the beginning of the demise of AEW. Not the Triple H taking over, but it's just they're trying to compete with them, or something's going on, and it's just really starting to take effect on them. I mean, would you agree, or what do you think about that?
I would say yes, and for sure no, because yes, because now, like, I've always felt like AEW has always been like, oh, we don't have to compete. We don't have to. We're totally different. Like I already said, oh, we give the matches the fans want. Here's the matches we want. But see, now they have so many television stations that they have to have a good product for. Now they bring the entertainment. So slowly they're letting these guys showcase their little characters, have their little skits, whatever's going to get them over. But see, now that's actually going to hurt the product, because to me, I like AEW because it is straight wrestling. I'd rather watch Dark and the other show that's online, because I open my phone and YouTube notification tells me, oh, there's some 8 matches I can sit and watch while I'm waiting for the bus or something, So I'd rather have a company put out content like that where it's just constant matches, and hopefully they can start doing that. Their matches are very good character-wise, but sometimes you get the 1-minute squash on live TV, and it's kind of like, okay, that was a waste of time. So they are they're almost becoming a WWE in a way. They're going to start giving that watered down segments and watered down matches, because they have to fill up time on TV.
That's what I was just talking to Nicolette about that. Now there's too many squash matches, Wardlow killing everybody, and you can kind of start to predict who's going to go over and who's not. You know what I mean? And before it wasn't like that. It was like, dude, these are two wrestlers and we don't know what's going to happen or whatever. That to me seemed like that was starting to be the demise of it or whatever. I mean, I think they have something there. They just got to get it together, man. I mean, when people start fighting in the back, okay, Pistol Pete, who I worked for a long time, he would not put up with that, fighting and stuff like that. He's like, hey, man, if this is what you guys are doing or whatever, get out, and you're not coming back or whatever. You have a chance to do something here. So I know Tony Khan is in a situation because, he doesn't want to lose his talent, but he can't let them be fighting and punching each other and biting. You know what I mean? So now they have a problem on their hands. He's stuck in a pretty big situation. So, Sonya, anything else you got on your news segment there? What's going on?
No, that was all.
Okay, well, before we get to the 8 o'clock, okay, real quick, I'll take this around, and it just I'm sitting there, and I'm watching this, and I'm thinking about it. I just, for some reason, I do not like MJF, and I'll tell you why. Well, I shouldn't say for some reason, but I do. I don't like the people that curse and flip off the fans and all that, especially in a big place like that, like AEW, because there's kids watching. I got a 10-year-old nephew, and we watch it all the time, and he's cursing and flipping people off and stuff. I don't like that. I think that's a cheap way to get heat. Let me see you work the crowd and not have to do that. Then that's a mark of a real wrestler. It's just dumb. And the proof is there, because when I go to Walmart, I'm always looking at the figures. Okay, you can find 14 MJF figures still on the peg at Walmart, and everybody else is gone. You know what I mean? And I think that's, so I don't think you need to do that. You don't need to flip up the crowd and curse them out and you're fat boy and, you're this and you're that. I don't like that. I think there's no place for that in wrestling or whatever, but they keep bringing him back. Why? I don't know. Is he talented? Maybe a little bit, but I would have got rid of that dude a long time ago, because I don't like that. So again, take it around the horn. We'll start with Mark. What do you think about this guy? And I try not to talk about him, because that's what he wants. He wants you to talk about him in this light, but I have to, because I don't like him and I don't want to see him anymore. Go ahead, Mark.
So for me, kids are very influenced by, whatever they're seeing, whatever they're hearing, for sure. But for me, I have my godson that goes to my shows and is giving me ideas for deathmatch weapons. So, I mean, these kids are going to get into stuff regardless. So, I mean, I'm not saying for it, but I guess it gives it that real feeling of like, oh, wow, this guy is going off, or maybe he is going off the script and all. He wasn't supposed to say that. But I find that stuff is more on pay-per-views and stuff like that. So I mean, it's kind of like in that gray area of like, yeah, we want real wrestling, but we also want to keep it like PG. But then, hey, I mean, it's wrestling. Should it be PG? You know? So I don't know. It's in that gray area of like, it's entertaining, but yeah, it's kind of cringy because it gets a little too much.
Yeah, I agree. PDP, what do you think?
You know, to me, I feel like it's a fine line. So one of the things I look back at is, like, I mean, I'm biased, but I love to go watch a lot of those old matches from the Olympics, especially my dad. But, you know, like, a lot of those old matches and a lot of those ESPN matches they show from the Showboat and stuff like that. And you look at those guys, especially when you listen to the way those old-timers talk about how they drew heat and how people would pay money to go to the stands to throw stuff at them because they hated these guys so much. Okay. Not for what they said to the audience, but what they did to their favorite wrestler.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not that's how you get the crowd. That's what you do. It's like, this guy is the babyface. This is the hero. This is what everyone loves. I'm going to do something so dastardly, so evil to this guy that you're going to hate me because of what I did to this guy. Right. And that's how you tell the story. It's telling the story in the ring, telling the story in your match. And I feel like, again with AEW, I feel like that's kind of like why I felt like Ring of Honor was the same way, where it's like a lot of times it's spot, 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 and nothing means anything anymore. You know?
That's true.
Like the same thing, I did the backyard wrestling. I love watching hardcore wrestling. ECW when it came out, I did the backyard matches. I have scars on my back from the burns.
Yeah.
I love all that stuff. But it gets to a point where, it gets to a point where, what can I do now? Like, I have no, like, I didn't have the skill in the ring that my dad did.
Right.
You know, I didn't have the size that my dad did. So that's why I did that stuff. And it's when you get to a point where it's like, okay, well, now that, you know, I just took 12 chair shots and I'm about to pass out, but, you know, where do I go from here?
Yeah.
You know,
well, even Sabu said, you know, the end of the world can't come every day. You know, we build up to it. And when, like, I check out everybody's biographies and stuff like that. And Taz said, you know, we didn't touch each other for 3 weeks. You know, to build it up.
Yeah.
And then when it was time and it was the end of the world, it was the end of the world, you know? So I worked for Pete, and that's who I trained with. And that's who brought me up with the business. And we were heels, but we never cursed around the kids or whatever. We were able to do that without, you know, cursing. And I just followed his lead. You know what I mean? He was like,
he was always cursing at us.
People go, people would go, well, Sonya, you know, even when I start the show, he goes, Sonya, right there, Sonya, or whatever, and you would be like, "God dang, you know, look at Al Bronx Bomber, Al Lyons Bronx Bomber. You know, he was 6'2", he was huge. You know, full, you know, just the biggest dude and legit crazy too. But man, he had more respect for Pete than anybody I've ever known. You know, because it was just there. But we never had to curse and never had to like prove, you know, stuff like that and call people fat boy and stuff like that. It was just there. Or whatever. So,
it goes back to, like, so think about this. So, telling the story in the ring. So, you see, you have something hidden in your trunks, right? You're going, you're reaching for your trunks. The audience sees you reaching for your trunks. The referee turns around, you back up. You go back into the match, you know, a couple of grapples, you know, whip them back, go back reaching for your trunks. You build that up. Like, he's got something. What does he have? It's a power.
Yeah,
it's just a brass knuckle.
That's what
it is.
He taught us.
You,
that's what he taught us.
I could pick
I'll tell you, Mark,
right
I know you don't, yeah, I know you don't know Pete that well, but we lived the gimmick. He told me, you 24/7, you are, well, first, just to humble me, I was Dazzling Dan Fabiano when I first, you know, I thought it was his, but, and I had to wrestle like that. He made some guy wrestle as Arturo the Butcher for a long time, and, you know, Bunny Torture, remember?
Wrestling.
Yeah, so, you know, you had to earn your things, but anyways, running up against the clock, hey, Mark, I appreciate you coming on. For the people listening, don't forget, ASCW riding straight to hell. It's going to be October 1st. It's going to be at the world-famous Doll Hut in the city of Anaheim. Got BC Killer against T-Rex, myself against Louis Alfaro, Angel Vegas got that open challenge, and, of course, Warhog and Red Spider against Luxor Kid and Silver Tiger. That's huge. Plus, all the other guys that are going to be there, Guy Cool. You know, I used to call Jimmy Shownuff. I don't know why, but he's Jimmy Mayhem. But just like Jimmy, like I see him and I want to go, Jimmy Shownuff, show you, right? Or whatever. So you definitely have to come down and check that out. It's going to be slamming. So, Mark, I appreciate you coming on, man. You know, it's always a pleasure to have you on. We are going to have you on again so we can talk a little bit about this, talk a little bit about death matches and stuff like that, because it's always been a big controversy. I think there's a place for it or whatever. You know, needless to say, I had to wrestle right before your show with no ring or whatever. It was just, speaking of mayhem, it was just crazy. So we look forward to that. Pete, I know you got to go, so we'll keep in touch with you so we can get the get you to the next meeting and see what the future holds for UWC. So Sonia and I will be right back with Guyam El Chivo. Mark, a million thank yous for coming on. Pete, we'll see you soon, and we'll be right back after this. Thanks a lot, Mark. We'll see you soon, my man.
Right on, man. Thank you, guys.
Booyah. Everybody, we're back here live at UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com. Just got finished talking to Mark Ortiz. We had Petey Pete with us talking about the news and WWE and the whole, you know, revamping, for lack of a better term. But, you know, Sonia, I sent Guyam a text that we're calling him, and he didn't text me back. So we'll see what happens. So let me dial him up, and then we'll go for there. If not, I got plenty more news, believe me. There's so much going on. It's just ridiculous.
Hello, sir.
Hey, Guyam. It's Fabiano. You're live on UWC Radio. Can you hear me, my friend?
Yes, I sure can. And it's a pleasure to be on the air with you guys all the time.
Real quick for the people listening, you're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can always check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com. And on the line with us now, somebody who, and it's funny because when I have him on, we want to talk about his show and everything, but I got so much, you know, stuff to run by him that I would need 2 hours. But Sonia is here with us. Sonia, say hi to Guyam real quick.
Hi, how's it going?
Well, I'm doing very, very well. Thank you. And pleasure to saying hello to you guys. Like I said, always a pleasure.
Go ahead, Sonia.
I was going to tell him I was watching a show with my daughter the other day, and we saw him on it beating up a little kid.
What was the show?
I forgot the name of it, but it's like this little kid is looking at different careers, and then he's like, "Oh, maybe I could be a wrestler." And then the show's Guyam.
We just saw that the other day. Ned something. Ned Classified. Yeah, Ned Classified for
Ned
Nickelodeon.
That's it. Yes.
PG Jello was talking about that too. She goes, "Yeah, I saw it or whatever." So that's pretty cool. But I want to talk about your show and what's going on. But, you know, it's funny because we talked in the opening. Mr. Pete Jr. was with us, and we were talking in the opening, and I was telling him, you know, how important it is to do the footwork for when you're doing the show. I was telling him how, you know, I had no idea, you know, when you know, Guyan says, hey, bro, you know, we got the big show coming up at Metroplex. Can you meet us down there so we could do some stuff? And, you know, got a music guy, blah, blah. I was like, okay, cool. And it was freaking packed. There was so many
there
people.
Yes, there was. It was a beautiful.
They were having the World's Strongest Man competition or whatever, and it was packed. But Guyan, like I was telling him, and this happened before, when Guyan and Enigma came in through the front door and walked to the back so we could go talk to Eddie or go check out the offices, that whole place just turned around and said, dude, there's luchadores here. Something's going on or whatever. It just created a buzz, not to take away from the competition, but just people just saw you and Enigma, and they're like, dude, something's going on. And then people were coming up, hey, bro, you guys are luchadores. And you're like, yeah, you know, we got a big show. And a bunch of people came up to me and said, dude, I didn't even know they had luchas out here or whatever. I said, that's why they're here, trying to get that word out, you know, or whatever. So the point I'm trying to make, Guyan, is that, you know, it would behoove you as a wrestler to get your butt out there and get your face out
you
there
have
so people
to.
Know who you are. You know what I mean?
You agree? Absolutely, you have to do that. I mean, the fans, like right now, the beautiful young lady, what she's saying, I mean, it's wonderful that we've done these things in the past and they're still out there and all that. But really, it's just going out there, hitting the bricks, man. You got to be out there talking to the people, nothing like live performance, you know. And then you taped us inside the cage, and, wow, I heard the reaction of the people around there. That was fabulous with AJ Mana right behind us, and then he participated. I mean, it was wonderful. But, again, look what we're doing right now. I just came right now from the gym. I just came from working out in Florence and Maine. And while I was out there, I'm also, I mean, I'm receiving calls from fans. I guess I'm getting a call right now. It's finally from a fan. And people are reserving their tickets, and it's clicking, man. And I'm really excited for this big show the Sunday, September 11th.
But it's not for lack of what do you call it, of involvement or work. You know, what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it, and that's why you guys were all over the place. But, I mean, I was amazed at how many people were just like, dude, I didn't even know this was going on. And, hey, can we get a picture with you and stuff like that? So it was really good. Now, big show coming up September 11th at the Metroplex Gym. You've got to come down and check it out. This card, I hate to use the word stacked because we use it a lot, but this card is stacked. I mean, moving, you know, from Florence, Maine over to Metroplex Gym, I think I am. And then I said, look, man, we're going to stack this show so these people know what's up. So these people who did come up to you and get a flyer and stuff like that, they're going to see the show of shows. You know, it starts from top to bottom, you know, from top to bottom. So I know you got Mr. California, Drew Masters. And now is Atomic going to be able to make it? Or I know we were talking a little bit about that earlier.
Atomic is not going to make it, but we have a guy who's going to take his place. Oh, nobody, just a little guy called Uncle Finchy, Uncle Chaz.
Oh.
Maybe you've heard of him. Man, that's you. That's, you know, it's funny that you say that because we were talking about Chaz. You know, he's turned the corner and become a different person. When I see him, you know, he's just like looking off into space or whatever. And you know, he's an Uber driver. And I'm like, dude, if this guy comes to pick me up, I am not getting in that car. I mean, he just is just crazy. You know, he let the hair grow out. But he has been trained.
He's a madman. He's a madman.
Yeah, he's been working or whatever. So that's going to start off. So it's a three-way, right, with Mr. California, Drew Masters, and Uncle Chaz, correct?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I mean, that's just going to put it – I'm sorry, I'm writing that down or whatever. That's just going to put it into another stratosphere or whatever. So then after that, now I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. It's myself and Maligno, and I saw Maligno the other day.
One more added thing in the for members, but we have the beautiful Nicolette as guest referee.
Yes.
You see. So I mean, it just starts off right on the right foot, and they're gonna set the tone for the whole show. I'm telling you right now.
That is a lot to handle for anybody. You know what I mean? It's just starting off like that and crazy. But you know, I gotta tell you, Malino is probably one of the most quietest dudes I've ever met in my life. You know, you talk about cerebral assassin or whatever.
Yeah.
But once he gets in that ring, but I saw him. It was that. I think it was the Noki Dojo show or whatever. And I said, hey, you know, you and I are together and we're going to be taking on Jaguar and the Last Turtle. And he's like, look at him. He goes, yep. He goes, I think we're going to do some damage. And I'm like, I know we're going to do some damage or whatever.
Say
so
much.
You know, here's the thing. Jaguar, when, you know, he's always like, you know what, Fabiano, you're just a brawler. You're this and that. And I'm like, you know what? The only reason I haven't wrestled you and tied you up in knots is because to me, I find it boring. But be careful what you ask for, because this is what's going to happen. So I've talked about it at the beginning. I've made a concerted effort to get back in the gym and get myself in shape and get ready or whatever. So I am going to not only tie up in a ball Jaguar de Oro, but we're going to have to give Last Turtle a little bit of a lesson because he's a younger guy or whatever, and he's jumping right into the deep end. And this is what I told Maligno. He's like, let's do it, man. He's all for it. So I am extremely, extremely looking forward to that match. So real quick before we
continue. Are you talking about turtle soup? Perhaps?
Yeah. We're going to be turtle soup on the second match. But real quick before we get into the next match, what I had been wanting to team with Maligno for a while, and it's finally come to fruition. Did he come talk to you, or did you finally say, okay, well, if that's what you want, let's do it?
No, this guy is just he's really blossomed into a well-rounded wrestler. He's considered as a heel, of course, but I mean this guy can go hold to a hold, and he has a followership, okay? Because there's guys that appreciate his. It's very evident that the guy's in the gym. I mean, you just see him. His progress has been so evident and so clear, and so the fans are wonderful because they see these things and they appreciate these things. And so in Florence and Maine, he already has a group of people that cheer him on. No matter who he wrestles, they cheer him on. And so, and again, that's the guy is devoted to his sport. This sport, it's love it or leave it, man. And this guy gives it his all, and there's the fruits of his work. The fans appreciate him.
There's no half in this business, but you know, what's making you team with Baby Power? I will never know. But it's Gayam and Baby Power Genesis against Imperio Junior and Hades. Now I'm not just because you're on the show or whatever, but just the truth is the truth. The last show we had at Florence and Maine, you and Hades went at it, and I was one of the lumberjacks. And I was literally in my mind going, God dang, these guys just are not messing around. I felt the maroma from Guyam, which I thought my kidney burst or whatever. But, I mean, you two, I mean, what's up with you guys, man? You guys have been going at it hard and heavy, and now this just adds another element to it.
Well, we always pick it up another step. The bar goes a little bit higher between us. I mean, he has it in his head. You know, the dude is in his prime, and he insists that I'm past my prime. And I tell you what, man, I'm not gonna agree with you. If I'm past my prime, I'm still going to whip your butt past or not past.
Yeah.
We still get it on. And so, I mean, Anita knows that our feud always lights up the card. So he says, hey, I'm going to put you guys. And then Baby Power and Imperio, they have a big feud going on.
Yeah.
He says, so this man, it's going to just be fireworks all over the place.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what Lucha Libre Alliance is all about, fireworks.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about artificial pyrotechnics. I'm talking about wham, bam, slap you, man. And the fans love it, man. The fans love it. And
aromas that almost break your kidneys. Yeah, it's crazy. But I'm very torn in this next match because Atomic and I gave Vulcan Jr. and Senior a run for their money. And I do, just because of circumstances that happened, we should have had those belts or whatever. And I talked to Enigma about it, and he said, don't be a sore loser. Just pull it together, and we'll get you back in there sooner or later. But putting them against Legendaro and Kali, those are two. I've seen them. I was OCCW. I went to go because I'm always, you know, if I'm not wrestling, I like to go watch the matches. It gives me a good chance to really see what these guys are all about. Now, Legendaro and Kali, that's a different. I mean, you want to, Kali is a high flyer. So what it is Daryl will set him up, and then Kali will come off the top and do the flying. So to go against Volkan Jr. and Senior, I like to call him like the little Mexican tank because he's just so – I tried to pick him up and almost ooh, pulled my wife or whatever. So this match that you want to talk about, dude, you want to talk about cuando los mundos chocaran, this is where the legends – I mean the two worlds collide. Would you agree?
Yes, sir. It's two different, very, very different styles. And, of course, these kids – Kali and Legendary, they want these belts. I mean, they're prestigious. There's a lot of history behind those belts. A lot of history behind those tag team belts. And so these guys want it. Right now, I just worked out in Florence, in Maine, with Volcan Senior. I tell him, "How do you feel, my brother?" He says, "How did you feel me right now in the work?" I go, "No, you're ready to go." I said, "Well, these kids." These kids, you're going to have to bring them down from the skies, man, because they're way up there.
Yeah.
Just don't worry about it. I'll bring them down, and then I'll my boy go off the third rope on them, and that should bring them down to earth. And I go, that worked for you before. I mean, you guys are champs for a reason.
Yeah.
And so they're defending their LLA tag team championships against these wonderful performers. So that's one hell of a match right there, you know.
But
all great.
If Vulcan Jr. hits him with a splash and connects, we're going to need a big, like a spatula or a forklift or something to scrape him up off the team because I felt that.
Yes, I've been the recipient of those splashes in the gym.
Oh, yeah.
I received them. Oh, jeez. I told him, you know what, Vulcan Jr., it's okay. I didn't need my left side of the ribs anyway. I really don't need those stuff anymore.
So we're okay. But, you know, I got to tell you, when I saw this main event, I thought, well, did Enigma or Guyam take a welding class? Because they're going to have to weld up that ring because we're talking to big dudes. First of all,
that's
you got flexible guys.
A lot of tonnage up there, man. That's a lot of beef up there.
And rings, that's a lot of weight. And then on the other side, with Black Metal, AJ Mana, and The Plague, that's another, we're talking six to 700 pounds alone.
Yeah.
You know, just with
that.
So when we went to Metroflex, AJ Manal was there, and that dude is fired up. This is a challenge. This is a challenge for me. Fletch Fugaz, you know, is like a little Barney Rubble, you know, and then you got Warhawk, who's this big, huge former Lucha Libre Alliance champion, and then Tony Reyes, who I don't know why that dude is off the rails, you know, because we were partners at one time. It's a challenge for me. So talk a little bit about that match.
Let me tell you a little bit about Tony Reyes.
Which you
wrestled,
know.
I mean, I'm very, very proud to say that Flecha Fugaz are the champions of the trophy,
the Pistol Pete Memorial.
Trophy, very prestigious, and I'm very proud. But boy, did we earned it, man. We went against Tony Reyes and Sean Black.
Sean Black.
And I remember the first time I went with Tony, he knows this thing. We go for the lockup, and I mean, years of experience, I trick the guy because I go into, but then I sneak up behind him to hold and then go for a takedown. Well, I go around him, and God dang, I can't go around his belly. You see? And this guy knows, because a lot of guys have tried that. So as soon as he does that, as big as he is, he's quick. And so right away with his right arm, he locks my right arm, and he just flips me over, man. I mean, I went flying, man. This guy is strong. Okay, this guy is strong and quick. He's very deceiving. You see him, and you figure, well, he's going to be slow. Heck no. He's not slow. He is fast, and he split my chin with one big right cross. And that guy is tough. Okay, Tony Ray, my respect. And then Mecha Fugaz, they're teaming up. I hope nothing happens there, because, I mean, Fletcher and I, it's hard with it, okay?
Yeah.
So I hope Warhawk will be the mediator right there. He'll say, hey, everybody, calm the hell down. We have these big guys on the other side of the thing, and so we got to focus on those big guys, and you guys, for the time being, hold on to your rivalry, and let's focus on these big guys, because look at it's the world heavyweight champ, the plague. That settles over six three feet. And then over 250 pounds. AJ, another guy that is deceiving it. I mean, the guy's all muscle.
Yeah.
He's trained.
And trained
like,
every day.
Every day, like an animal.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's the heavyweight havoc. Because these guys, there's a lot of tonnage up there, man.
Well, let me tell you something. I don't think that people have any idea the strength that the plague has, because we were doing a show on Florence and Maine for Lucha Libre Alliance, and I went out there to grab Atomic. I don't know what was going on, but the plague threw him over the top rope, across the ring, onto the top of us. And I mean, I'm like, not so much that the referee fell on top of us, but in my mind I was going, did this dude just pick up the referee and throw him across the ring over the top rope? I mean, the strength of this guy is amazing. So it all, culminates in this heavyweight, match that I don't know if the ring's going to be able to hold it. I hope it does. But, I mean, it is just amazing. So props to you and Enigma. You know, those are two guys who know the business and know if I put this guy with this guy, you know, it's gonna be huge. And I think this show is the epitome of what that is. You know, Enigma and Kayam have been around for a long time, so they know. And real quick, Sonia, let me tell you something. At that first annual Pistol Pete Memorial Tag Team Championship, I came out with Fletcher Fugaz and Kayam. And when he went out and when he came up and I saw him and I said, hey, did you hit your mouth on the ring or whatever? He turned around and looked at me and goes, no, he punched me right in the face.
It was
crazy.
Tony Ray's my respects. I mean, he has mean right shots, and he got me right in the chin. First, I was dazed. You know, I was dazed.
Yeah.
And then, when I snapped out of it, I said, "Oh." When I started
it's on
now.
It just goes to show how much that Pistol Pete Memorial Trophy, you know, means, because it was a hard fought battle to get it, and that's coming up again really soon. So I hope you guys are ready for that. But real quick, because we're running up against the clock, for the people listening, you've got to check out Lucha Libre Alliance. It's going to be Sunday, September 11th at the Metroflex Gym in Hawaiian Gardens. We'll keep everybody up to date on that huge show. Big matches coming. You definitely have to go. It's going to be packed because there were so many people. The buzz was so huge at Metroflex, last week, that it's going to be packed. So make sure, like you said, and it's pretty cool because you can call that number that's on the flyer. And if you want a front row or you want to reserve some seats, they'll take care of you, and it's
also
always a good
deal. You could also pay through Venmo. Venmo.
Andale.
There's that little image of it right there, flyer. You put your phone on it, it gives you all the details. And on the day of the show this Sunday, if you don't have cash, again, in the box office, again, you go to a Venmo and pay like that. So either with cash or Venmo.
God bless America. Who would have thought that you could just see the car, hit it with your phone, and bam, you're in? I mean, it's just
how about that,
the progress
it's amazing.
That we made is amazing.
Only in America.
I'm gonna leave you with this, okay? First of all, it was in a nightclub in Long Beach, and I believe it was early 2000, 2001, maybe 2002. My partner and I, Sergio Baez, who wrestles as the Unholy, we were these, you know, new to the business, younger guys, and we took a beat from Enigma and Kayama. And I'm just going to be honest. I'm like, man, these masked dudes and all that, man, we're powerhouses. And I was literally sore for a week. And the whole years that we've wrestled everywhere at the Frank and Sons and WPW and all that, and I'm always telling Enigma, hey, man, we got to get that revenge. We got to get that rematch. And it never came about because Enigma retired, you know, and just a whole bunch of stuff. So before this is all said and done, because the last one-on-one I had with Kayam, I took a beat. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I mean, we're not going to sit here and try to act like I did. I took the maroma, and I sat there and thought, oh my God, my kidneys exploded. And I started thinking in my mind, do they have an ambulance? Can they pick me up or whatever? So before it's all over, we got one more time. That's all I'm asking. It could be anything you want. Straight up wrestling match, bull rope match, you know, no DQ, no holds bar, whatever you want, but just please, one more before I can't do it anymore. That's all I ask. Okay.
Papa, it will happen. Believe me, it will happen.
That gives me something to shoot for. It gives me a reason to train or whatever. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. So, Kayam, a million thank you for coming on, man. You know, we're Mexican. They're going to be rolling. They'll throw us out of here. So we got to make sure. So I definitely look forward to seeing you on Sunday, September 11th. It's going to be huge. I highly recommend that you get your buns down there and check it out. Yeah, it's this Sunday, so get yourself together. So, Kayam, a million thank yous for coming on. I got to take a quick break so we can get out of here. I look forward to seeing you on Sunday. It's going to be huge, my man. I think you guys really outdid yourself this time.
All right, well, thank you very much for having me. God bless everybody. The young lady that's there with you, thank you.
Sonia,
and,
you got
bye.
Viva la lucha libre. Viva power forever.
Absolutamente. I'll see you on Sunday. We'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody. You know, Sonia, I push it. There's only 3 minutes left in the show or whatever, but you know, we always have so much to talk about. You know, it just is crazy. So appreciate everybody that's coming on. You know, Sonia, we'll have to meet up again so we can figure out what the future is for UWC. We talked a lot about upcoming stuff and all that, so we'll keep everybody posted. So, Sonia, I'll see you maybe on Tuesday. I don't know. We're trying to figure out so we can get this show on a consistent basis. So I'll keep you posted, and of course everybody at UWC. So tell PG Jello I said hi. I hope she's continuing to train and get her buns out there. And you know, I was going to tell you too, sister that came to the live broadcast that was supposed to start working with us, is she still interested?
I have to talk to her because she started, like I said, she remember she graduated.
She'd be like
a supervising job.
Yeah. Well, if she does, there's definitely a spot for her because we want to keep it all in the family. And we definitely look forward to that. So, Sonia, I will talk to you real soon for the people listening to us. We appreciate it. And I'll talk to you real soon. Okay, Sonia, we'll have to meet up again so we can get everything together.
Yes.
Okay. You know what? I'm telling you, man, I talk about Pete and you guys. I'll get this. Okay. There it is. All right. We'll see everybody soon. We'll keep everybody posted. Sonia, I'll see you real soon.
All right. Bye.